Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, March 21. It is 12:04 p.m. We are in room 106. Present here is Speaker Edgman, Representative Josephson, Representative Knopp. Representative Newman is going to be here a little later. He's obligated in another committee right now. And here as well is Representative Tallarico and myself, Representative Westlake. With us here are the House Record Secretary, Martha Marr, and on the electronic keyboard over there is Summers Cole. Reminder again, please turn your cell phone to the silent mode. Before us, we've only got one piece of legislation today, and it's Senate Concurrent Resolution 4, and the quote is Task Force on Unmanned Aircraft Systems, and it's, end quote, sponsored by Senator Hughes. We have version D in front of us. At this time, I'll invite Senator Hughes' staff, Buddy Whit, up to give us a presentation. And before that, Buddy, I'd also like, go ahead, please sit down, online we have Bob Dole, Deputy Commissioner of Department of Military Veterans Affairs, and Kathy Cahill from University of Alaska Fairbanks. And Mr. Whit.
Thank you, Chair Westlake, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Buddy Whit, staff to Senator Shelley Hughes. I thank the chair and the committee for hearing this SCR 4 today, continuing resolution for the Task Force on Unmanned Aircraft Systems in Alaska. Senator Hughes sends her apologies. She was unable to attend today due to a scheduling conflict. She asks that you please excuse her absence. And if there are any questions for the senator that I can take back to her, we'll get you answers to your questions as soon as possible. 2013 was Senator Hughes, then Representative Hughes, in this body's first year as a legislator. And during that time in 2013, constituents brought to her attention issues of unmanned aircraft systems, particularly privacy concerns having to do with unmanned aircraft systems, drones, if you would. At the time, she was very concerned and somewhat opposed to the technology. But as she looked into the technology and as she learned about the technology, she quickly changed her attitude, and she saw an incredible potential for Alaska with this new technology. The legislative task force was formed in order to help provide a private and public partnership for the advancement of unmanned aircraft systems, while also looking at state and federal laws that have to do with privacy concerns, particularly here in Alaska. The key component of the task force was to review Alaska statutes to see what additional privacy protections were needed in order to not only protect the privacy of Alaskan citizens, but also provide for an expansion of this technology. And we have seen this technology grow, both here in the state and throughout the nation. The goal was allowing the industry to thrive while also protecting Alaskans. Key pieces of legislation that came forward due to this task force included, first, HCR 6, which first established the task force, HCR 15 in 2014, which extended the task force until June 30th of this year. We're asking for an extension of this task force so it can continue its good work. HB 255 in 2014 clearly defined the rules for law enforcement's use of unmanned aircraft systems and permits the University of Alaska to develop an unmanned aircraft system operations training program. The bill strictly specified that search warrants must be issued before gathering evidence for a criminal investigation using unmanned aircraft systems. The bill also required law enforcement to do certain things: maintain a record of each flight and establish an available flight record system. Law enforcement would be allowed to operate only by trained and certified pilots and crews. They'd have to obtain authorization, permits, and certificates required by the FAA. They'd have to notify the public of operations of unmanned aircraft systems. They'd have to provide for community involvement in the development of policies. They'd have to ensure that the flight of an unmanned aircraft system be for a public purpose, and they'd have to dispose of images that are not required as part of an investigation for prosecution or training. Additionally, the Task Force on Unmanned Aircraft Systems passed HJR 5 in 2015, which recognized the Academy of Model Aeronautics for their drone safety and education purposes. And finally, in 2016, HCR 17 was passed to support the unmanned aircraft industry use of state land to conduct tests, do training, and develop the technology. Development of drone safety guidelines and privacy guidelines were also completed by this task force, and there are examples of those guidelines in the packet that was submitted to the chair's office. They're also available online. A partnership with the Department of Economic Development has been a key component of making sure that those items are available online for those interested in flying a drone or interested in safety and education of drones. The task force would like to continue to review the industry, FAA guidelines, federal and state laws, and address any additional concerns that come up from the public with use of unmanned aircraft systems. The task force is devoted to volunteers to run this task force and with zero cost to the state. And as you can see in your packet, there is a zero fiscal note for this resolution. The senator, the bill sponsor, asks that you please support the passage of this great effort, of this task force, so this great effort can continue. Joining us online, as you mentioned, is a representative of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, who can speak to some of the developments that they have had and some of the work that they have done. And also in the audience, Representative Westlake, is Mr. Steve Wachowski, who is also on the task force and is an industry representative and an expert in drone use in the commercial side of the industry. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Witt. And before we get started, I am remiss that I just saw Mr. Wachowski's on there, so I'm glad we have an expert in witness. But also for the record, at 6 minutes after the hour here, we had Representative Tuck and Representative Newman join us. First of all, are there any questions for Mr. Witt? Representative Tuck.
thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking on page 3, looking for the words public and industry. The only reason I'm looking for that, I can't seem to find it. Just want to make sure that the fiscal note analysis says that it was prepared with the assumption that the amendment striking the words public and industry from page 3 had been adopted. Has that been adopted?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, yes. In a previous committee, the two words public and industry were stricken from the resolution. By providing for public and industry members of the task force, to receive would serve without compensation, it didn't preclude anyone else who served on the task force from getting compensation or reimbursement. Striking that then precludes any members of the task force from being able to get any compensation for their service on the task force.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Witt. And Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Concerning this task force, who staffs it and writes down the recommendations and does all that work, and how is it paid for?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, the task force is staffed by the two legislative members that would for the Senate. That would be Senator Hughes, of course, and just recently the Speaker appointed Representative Foster to the task force. Putting together the meeting agendas, meeting materials, taking minutes, and making any recommendations are the responsibility of the offices of those two legislative members and are done with current funding of those offices.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
With that, so the recommendations come forward. Where do the recommendations go to? The legislature?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, if the task force has made recommendations concerning privacy or anything related to unmanned aircraft systems that would require legislative input, then those would be drafted into legislation like as has been worked on previously and be brought to the legislature for review.
So if I may just follow.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So on this, I'm trying to get to the point of eventually there's going to have to be regulations that are written for this, I'm assuming.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, for the task force itself, there would not need to be regulations written. Our charter is within the language of the resolution before you. However, if regulations needed to be written by the state in order to make sure that this technology is managed properly, then it is quite possible that we would make a recommendation for additional regulations. However, based upon the history of the task force and the 4 years that has been put together, 3.5 years has been put together, and based upon the history of the legislators who were assigned, the proclivity is to write statute, not regulation, and that is the course which they've taken.
Mr. Chair, if I can. So obviously if regulations are promulgated on statute.
Yes, sir.
So if there's going to be statutes written, there's going to be regulations. There also has to be a state entity that enforces these regulations. That costs money. State costs state employees, time, effort. A lot of the costs that are going into things now, so these are great recommendations. And what I don't want to see is just another report written that sits on a shelf. So we've got plenty of them and recommendations like that. So now we get recommendations. We're going to get it to a state entity. Who's going to be, what state entity is going to enforce these regulations? Is it going to be Department of Transportation? I have no idea who's going to be doing this. What effort is going to be engaged and involved in trying to enforce these? And Mr. Chair, as you well know, I think part of the problem that we have in the state right now, you know, we continue to reduce these state departments' budgets, yet they still have all the regulations that we still have on the books now that cover a huge cost. And the industry still has to provide for them, but although we don't even have the personnel within the departments to deal with them in the effort, and so I don't want another report there where we don't have to do this. I want to know who's going to cover the cost of writing and enforcing the regulations and what departments.
Very well-founded concerns, Representative Newman. Would you like to respond to that, Mr. Witt? Or
through the chair, Representative Newman, I'll do my best to respond, but not knowing what the future holds, I'm not sure if I can be very specific. But I can tell you, I will just tell you, that the sponsor believes with emerging technologies requires the state to look at emerging technologies the right way. 20 years ago, unmanned aircraft systems, they weren't known too well to be something used by some civilians. And they were used by the Department of Defense in certain military capacities, but we as a state and other states did not have to deal with those. As these emerging technologies come forward, it is required in order to uphold the public's interest changes in how the state conducts itself and how it does regulate. So while the sponsor of the resolution, I believe, would probably agree with you that yes, there is cost in creating regulation and regulating new and developing industries and technologies. The not doing that regulatory task results in confusion with how this technology is supposed to be handled by the state,
Mr. Chair.
And by the public.
And excuse me, what we're going to do is move over to Representative Knopp, and then we'll come back over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So it's not really a question, more of a comment, but, you know, the state does not get the opportunity to regulate airspace. The federal government, FAA, regulates all airspace, controlled, uncontrolled, so we do not have that luxury. I think what the task force, my understanding, is to monitor the actions and the regulations that the FAA is putting in place, and also is to provide some commentary thoughts to the FAA in developing them regulations. You know, that you got the different A, B, C, D, F, G, G being uncontrolled airspace, altitudes, and and distances to airports is what changes in that visibility, cloud cover. So we as a state, as a governing body, will never have an option into regulating airspace. But is that your understanding? That is my question. My understanding of the task force was to do just that, was to monitor the regulations, provide some input to our delegation in D.C. and the FAA in developing them regulations. Is that how that process is working?
Through the chair, Representative Knopp, you are correct. The FAA does control airspace. The mission of the task force is to in some ways be a conduit between the state's interests in unmanned aircraft systems and the FAA's regulations on unmanned aircraft systems. However, I would add, the task force has made recommendations on legislation in previous years, and as the representative stated, when there's legislation, there has to be regulations written according to legislation. So the task force does kind of ride the line between the federal interests and Alaska state interest and try to make recommendations based upon the needs of Alaskans and the federal government's dictates.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair. Just give me an example of regulations the task force has proposed that the state's been able to adopt. Give me something there.
Well, as I mentioned, through the chair, Representative Knopp, HB 255, I think, is the clearest indicator of how the task force took FAA regulations and developed statutes in order to try to solve some of the concerns that were Alaskans were having, and that dealt mostly with law enforcement's use of unmanned aircraft systems, and then of course setting up the University of Alaska Fairbanks's unmanned aircraft research center.
Okay, and with that, thank you, Representative Edgemont.
So, speaking in support of the resolution, having been party to the earlier version or versions. My question would be to ask, as I read through the resolution, everything seems to be so future tense or future oriented recommendations, looking out into the research that's going to be conducted by the university, and we all know it's a developing industry, if that's the right way to characterize it. But why would we not carry this task force out more than just an additional year? And I ask that in a constructive way. As we sit here in tough fiscal times, I'm getting less and less supportive of running these things every year, every 2 years, when maybe it's cheaper to do it for 5 years. And then, you know, if they don't meet, they don't meet, and you can take it off the books pretty quickly. But
through the chair, I'd have to apologize, Chair. I haven't done a whole lot of these committee meetings, so I don't know if it's proper to address you as Mr. Speaker or Representative Edgemont.
Just Representative
Edgemont. Representative Edgemont, the thought process of the sponsor was that the dates would coincide with the legislature. So the legislative members of the task force are on two-year cycles based upon the beginning and end of each legislature. So the sponsor of the resolution was trying to keep that same date sequence.
So through the chair, I follow that logic, and it makes sense. But on the other hand, would it not also make sense that we would, you know, put 2020 on here, or 2022, because this task force arguably, it's going to be around for some time. I mean, I just heard you moments ago say that you couldn't look out in the future and see where things are going to go as any nascent industry, you know, would claim the same. I think I'm just going to put it out there. Maybe you can bring it back to the bill sponsor, and if she's vehemently against that, I would respect her wishes. But, you know, again, to Representative Newman's concerns, it takes money to run these bills through the system. I think we all know that. So with that, I'll stand down and appreciate the response later on.
Yep. Through the chair, Representative Edgemont, I'll be happy to bring that to the sponsor and take that consideration. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And at this moment, it's 12:25. I'm going to call for a brief at ease. Mr. Back online, and it's 12:25 still. Thank you very much, Mr. Pitt. I'd like to call over Steve Wachowski. He's the task force member on the drones and an expert. So please introduce yourself to the record.
Thank you, Representative Westlake. I apologize. I didn't know I was going to put on the spot, so I don't have any prepared remarks. My name is Steve Wachowski. I'm a lifelong Alaskan from Anchorage. I'm the operations manager for a joint venture called Tulagak, which is a joint venture with Fairweather Science, Kaktovik Inupiat Corporation, and Alunik Corporation. We've conducted unmanned aerial systems operations both in the offshore and on the slope and a little bit on the Kenai Peninsula. Just to lay a background, I flew UAS in the military overseas and then for research purposes in the Arctic. And so I came home to help help grow the blossoming industry and take it, you know, opportunity in the civilian sector for this new exciting emerging technology. I can briefly answer Representative Newman's questions that he posed earlier today. Sir, beyond just doing a report, the task force through Representative Hughes and then Senator Michiki was the Senate representative, did write letters of advocacy to the congressional delegation, to the FAA, and not only that, to our trade organizations to help encourage business to come to Alaska. So we've had some R&D dollars come because the industry itself has seen a good partnership. The big UAS industry has seen a good partnership with both the state and the industry and the university. So they've helped kind of incentivize for us some R&D dollars come north to conduct operations. You may be aware, in 2013, the first ever commercial beyond visual line of sight UAS operation happened in Alaska. So we're kind of on the cutting edge in many ways of this technology, and as the industry grows, we hope to grow with it and create jobs for Alaskans. To my knowledge, the state actually has regulated drones in two sectors. ADF&G has banned the use of drones for same-day hunting, so just like aerial. And then the fishing industry has banned drone use for spotting fish. I'd argue that's not a good thing, but we didn't pick and choose that battle. The only other question that was raised, and I believe it was by Representative Edgemont, is a lot of what the task force has done as far as legislative recommendations, ours were to not take action. Their states are kind of doing this hodgepodge of regulation, and it's limited people. So, in fact, the governor of California had to veto some legislation because the industry came out. We've got so many sets of rules and bureaucracy laid upon us from the FAA that it's their standards for safety are pretty gold standard, and we feel that that would be prohibitive to any additional regulation at the state level would be prohibitive to growing the industry. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that's kind of where I was going with my concerns, is a lot of times we have good industry emerging here and government tends to get in the way. And that was a big part of my concern on that. With that, do you know, even if, and as crazy it may seem, you mentioned that private industry is willing to maybe invest in this. Do you know if they have the ability to invest? I doubt they do right now, but to invest in maybe this task force in writing these recommendations, it's the state can't just accept funds. And maybe that might be a part of the recommendations, to be able to accept funding for this.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Any other questions for Mr. Wachowski?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker Edgemont.
So, under the second whereas, it speaks about the legislature has provided significant financial support to Alaska Center for Unmanned Aircraft Systems Integration at the University of Alaska Fairbanks to further the center's research initiatives and increase its capabilities for use as a federal aviation administration test site. While we're cutting the university fairly substantially, and I don't put that out there as a partisan statement. I put that out there as just a statement of fact.
Through the chair, Representative Westlake, I believe, is Kathy Cahill online?
Yes.
She'd be better posed to answer this question, but they had a grant, a one-time grant that was granted like 4 years ago, and that...
If you don't mind, we'll put her online, and she can tell us of the first. And so, thank you for your
patience. And I was going to finish my statement by saying, does a task force advocate in any way at all, or are you just merely sort of an ad hoc advisory board, I guess, is what I'm inferring?
Representative Edgman, through the chair, they have advocated for us. In fact, one big example, the big yearly trade show, AVUSI, which is worldwide, the task force coordinated us partnering with the university and industry partners based in Alaska to do a big booth, right? Come to Alaska, fly your drones for R&D. So does that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, it does. May one more unrelated question. So to the bill sponsor staff, I posed a question about extending the expiration date of the task force. If that were to happen, would that help with continuity of the task force for someone like yourself?
Yes, sir. I'm one of two industry reps. We would be wholeheartedly supportive of extending it beyond just the two-year cycle.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And any more questions for Mr. Wotowski? Hearing none, thank you. And what I will do is Ms. Cahill, if you can read me, or if you can hear me, I apologize.
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Thank you very much. Would you read yourself into the record? And you had heard the concern on the funding issue. Could you tell us how that was deployed? Thank you.
Certainly. So my name is Kathy Cahill. I'm the director of the Alaska Center for Unmanned Aircraft Systems Integration at the University of Alaska. And I am a 18-and-a-half-year resident of Alaska, and am proud to be working to try to further her industry in this particular area. In terms of funding, there was an original $5 million capital grant from the state legislature to allow the Alaska Center for Unmanned Aircraft Systems Integration to compete in the competition for one of the FAA test sites. We partnered with Hawaii and Oregon and formed the Pan-Pacific UAS Test Range Complex. We were awarded the test site, and then much to our surprise, were also awarded all the FAA responsibility for it. We originally thought that the FAA would have each state accept responsibility for their operations, and instead they gave it all to the University of Alaska Fairbanks because we happen to have the long track record of unmanned aircraft operations. We also do have, I will admit, from a couple of years ago, thanks to Senators Kelly, Coghill, Representative Thompson, and others, money that was put into the university operating budget for this particular center, the Alaska Center for Unmanned Aircraft Systems Integration. So that is money that we have been using to further development of curriculum, working the test sites, trying to bring industry into Alaska. It supports some of our basic operations. So it is something that, you know, was a commitment to from the state legislature to the university, that the university has been trying to protect so that the legislature's desires are moved forward.
Thank you, Ms. Gale. No. You had heard the concern on the continuity issue and extending that deadline there. How does this affect you?
It really wouldn't affect us, Representative. It's a case of we're going to do what we can to support the state, and this is something that we feel is important, that we pay attention to the concerns of the people of Alaska, and we help move forward in communicating between the FAA, especially as one of their test sites and part of their Center of Excellence for Unmanned Aircraft Operations, that we can help facilitate here. And with the task force being together and extended, it would allow us to continue that over a longer period of time without having to go through the renewal process every year or two.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Knopf.
Ms. Cahill, so I'm kind of wondering, like a progress report, so to speak, let us know where you're at as far as R&D, how we're doing at Tyson, the industry to come to the state? And how are we, is current regulation still being developed, or what's the issues with the task force at this point in time? And what have our successes been in that?
Well, some of our successes have been that we are partnering with multiple private companies. We've done work, of course, with Fairweather, with Steve Okowski, whom you just heard from, and who eloquently summarized some of our concerns. We are bringing in organizations like Lockheed Martin. We are working with Arctic Soap Regional Corporation. We have some other companies that we are working with that I actually can't disclose their names. The non-disclosure agreements are too tight. So we're seeing a lot of activity. We're also seeing activity in the other ranges of the Pan-Pacific, and that feeds money into the Alaska program. So we are doing a lot of work for NASA at the Tillamook Range in Oregon, where we actually had a flight recently from 70,000 feet to the surface. And, you know, through various set of airspaces. We are doing a lot in terms of getting curriculum up and going, and also being a pathway for former military to do a civilian role. So in our particular center, we have over 100 years of combined military experience in our operators. So there are a lot of successes here, and the major challenge for us is the FAA, and so we've been working hard through the test site program and the Center of Excellence to work on issues that are specifically Alaskan. So for us, the beyond visual line of sight, which is what we need to do to be able to, say, fly the Intertie or, you know, fly the GCI towers or a bunch of other operations, we've been working on trying to push the technologies and move it forward so we can actually employ it safely here in Alaska. All of our operators are manned pilots. They are very concerned about our airspace. So we've been working with NASA on the UAS traffic management research project in terms of how do we make sure that we're communicating, we know where all the manned aviators are, and we avoid them. So there are a lot of successes. We've got a lot of stuff moving forward. But right now it's the regulations on the federal side that are our biggest handicap.
Thank you. Follow-up, Representative.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Ms. Cahill. So I guess the last question I want to ask you is funding sources. Are you able to get federal grants or any fees from commercial operations, or are you solely on, I think we mentioned a little bit in the state budget for the program. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's still being funded. I think there was a little bit in there. So just curious about the funding sources at this point in time.
So our funding is, I think, two-thirds to three-quarters, actually federal and private. So we are working hard in terms of bringing in that outside funding, and it is ramping up.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Thank you. And Ms. Cahill, we don't want you to feel that this is something we're opposed to. I mean, attracting the outside money is very good, and as one of the representatives had alluded to, is getting the state dollar out there running it as a private business. So we're genuinely pleased to hear about this. Is there a way, and I know we've got to be respectful on the private partnership parts, is a financial picture on the funding sources and how it's attracted other monies, if you will, how the state has used this $5 million initial outlay as leverage to attract more money?
I'm trying to think if we have, Representative, if we happen to have a good summary of that. We're coming up on the end of that original five-year grant, so we will be compiling one here shortly in terms of how it was spent and what it's done in terms of supporting, you know, getting the Pan-Pacific UAS Test Range Complex up and running, communicating across ranges, getting students up and going. So that's one that would it be possible that we could potentially give that to you once we've completed the final report, basically, for that particular grant.
And that would be appreciated. And with that, are there any more questions for Ms. Cahill? Seeing none, thank you very much for your time. It is appreciated, Ms. Cahill. And at this time, what I am going to do is open this up for public testimony. Do I have? I don't have anyone online. Is there anyone out here that wants to testify out for the drone issue? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. That was a very easy one. So this brings SRC back before the committee for discussion. Are there any other questions you want to ask either of these gentlemen here? Representative Newman.
No questions, Mr. Chair, but just in committee discussion. You know, I think that a report to the committee would be good to have on where we're at currently, you know, what funds they were able to bring in, you know, and work towards what their goals are, the successes and things that they're having challenges on. I'd like to see that. If we have, I mean, we're looking at an extension date on this and maybe even change it to the extension date beyond a year. You know, usually when we have these a year or 2 years, we put those in there so that we can get those updates, you know, for the legislature instead of just having things go on without us being updated as to what's going on. So that would certainly be beneficial.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Representative Knopp.
And again, no question for his comments. So just for the record, I do support the task force. I'm glad we have it. You know, as a pilot, when the drone industry first got started, we all had concerns about where they were going to fly and how far and how high, and most of us pilots didn't like them. But recognizing it was a new industry really taken off, it's an industry I actually like. It's the technology is incredible when you look at what them drones are doing today. So I think the task force has served a good purpose in the recommendation of the regulations and helping control that industry and moving them forward. So it's I'm with Speaker Edgman there. I'd like to see that extended out there for to, you know, 5 years is kind of an off cycle, but a minimum of 4 years. I think it's still in the revolutionary stage. I think the task force is going to need it for quite some time yet. So I'd like to see that extended out there further.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is just a good example of how our university can be used to create new industries in the state of Alaska. Task force helped make that happen. There was seed money at one time that went in there. It's also an example of why we got to be careful on how much we cut in our university budget, because sometimes that is the research dollars that we have coming into our state. And so as we look forward, I mean, I'm very mindful of our fiscal situation. I'm glad this resolution is mindful of our fiscal situation, because people are doing it on with no compensation, doing it on a volunteer basis. It does have a zero fiscal note as a result of that. And so I'm glad that the resolution is mindful of it. And but as we look into the future, there might be times when we just need to make a little small investment like we did in the past to pay off huge dividends like we're seeing today. So I support the resolution and appreciate it bringing up before us again.
And taking off my chairman's hat, I'm going to just speak as a representative for a huge house district. I absolutely see the potential for this. I see the potential for search and rescue. In other places where there's fishing, I see where you can have drones out there protecting your biological resources, not only caribou, but if you're fishing out there, is enforcing the fishing regulations and working it out. So there's huge potential for all of us, in my opinion, on having something like this. So I really do. I see this, as does Representative Tuck, is the potential's there. It really is, and I'm glad to see this in front of us. Representative Tuck.
And I failed to mention that I'm also serve on the Board of Trustees for the Alaska Electrical Apprenticeship School, and we're actually looking at unmanned aircraft as part of our apprenticeship due to the fact that we are using them in the utility world for inspecting power lines safely. Inspecting power lines where people don't have to climb up there, or I don't know if you guys have seen some of the videos where people are actually on the landing gear of a helicopter going up and making connections and everything else. So now we're able to do things with drones that that takes a lot of the dangers of power climbing, tower climbing, and everything else. So it is going to be part of our, I think we're really close to making it part of our curriculum for the fifth year apprentices in the power industry.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to move CSSCR for...
Chairman...
Eddie's.
Yeah.
On record, it is 1246.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move conceptual amendment on page 3, line 31, to change June 30th, 2018 to June 30th, 2020. So the amendment essentially would change 2018 to 2020.
Mr. Chair, just on discussion. Maybe we should change the date to when the legislature is in session. If we did need to extend the date beyond that, when the legislature is not in session, we would be here when it does end.
Can you read? What's that?
Which would just
You're not talking to your mic. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Suggesting that just for committee discussion at this point, right now it's slated end of June 30th, which is generally not when the legislature is in session. If we had this end when the legislature is in session, there wouldn't be a stagnant date as to when the committee ended, if it was decided to be renewed. Or then again, we could have it before it did that, but I just brought it up for a suggestion to think about.
Okay, and Ms. Representative Knopf behind you has something to say.
Well, I understand where Representative Newman is going with that, but all it does is allow us to address it through that legislative session just a couple months prior to. So at that time, we would make a motion to extend the deadline again and just let it lapse. But if we move it up any earlier, then it forces us to act on it too early in the session. And as you guys know, things aren't extremely fast sometimes in our body. So I'm kind of supportive of leaving it out there in June. It gives us the entire session to address it. And then it would just lapse 30 days later if we go into April or May. So,
thank you, Representative Knopf. So with that,
The motion's been moved to ask.
I'll remove my suggestion. Just committee discussion. So I do support it.
Okay. So it passes.
Okay.
No objection.
There was no. I think it was just for purposes of discussion, as I understood it.
Mr. Chairman, I would move CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4, State Affairs, Version D, out of committee with individual recommendations and a zero fiscal note.
Hearing no objections, and it passes.
Congratulations.
Okay, and we're going to take a brief.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what I failed to say in my motion was as amended.
Okay, as amended, yes. As amended.
So my motion would be amended. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay. So with that, we're going to take a brief at ease to sign this, and thank you all. We're back in session. Time now is 12:51, and we have no more items on our calendar for the week, so the meetings scheduled for Thursday and Sunday are canceled. Having concluded our scheduled business for today at 12:52, I adjourn today's meeting of House Arctic Policy, Economic Development, and Tourism.